With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's roll.
Oh, hi everybody, welcome back.
No, we're not starting with me saying, let's roll. I mean, that's not something the first time I've ever said it.
But now you've reacted to it, so now we do.
I'm going to keep that in.
Flav, as per usual, you don't normally get to see that. See behind the camera there. You've done your usual, let's roll.
Let's roll.
And that means that we kick off the podcast. You know, I'm here, obviously, Flav's here. And Bill Oddie is with us as well.
You prick.
Cue picture. Here for a very special one. Champions League final this weekend. Quotes of the week, straight off the bat. If you missed last week's podcast, then you won't understand the context of this. That's exactly the point. Here's some of the quotes of the week. Bri10 says, "You know what? I reckon whilst you guys are all just in your normal hells getting bored, I'll be bopping around in different hells having the time of my life." Another quote from Bri says, "It doesn't sound initially appealing shoving things up your ass for eternity, but..." Shiv, that's not true.
Wait, is that a thread and you've just not got the second? Or is that the whole point of the tweet?
That's where he wanted to stop it. It's about
this is basically things that we've said during the podcast last week and they've picked out what they think the quote of the week is.
Okay, can I guess who said each one then?
Yes.
Sure,
okay,
yeah.
Flav said that one.
What one? Shoving up your ass.
But.
Yes.
But what about, you know what? I reckon whilst you guys are all just in normal hells getting bored, I'll be bopping around in different hells having the time of my life.
See, I would ordinarily say Flav for that, but I don't think he'd use the word bopping.
Yeah, bopping.
Therefore, it's a James Alcott.
No, it's not.
No.
It's him.
It's the big dog.
Oh, the big dog.
He's had three religions in his life. He's converted to three different religions, and each one he's fucking fucked. So he's going to
this is what you're in life for.
He's going bopping to different hells. Shiv's quote of the week from last week. That's not true though. The bit where they spaff on the face is the best bit.
Who's saying spaff? It's gotta be Flav.
Yeah. But we were talking about porn, and someone goes, "Oh, there for the storylines," and and I just made the point that everyone just skips to the spike on Pornhub where the bird gets cum on her face.
Right. Okay. If you finish a porn video and you start it from the beginning, it's a terrible porn video.
Is this all right, given the fact we've got a sponsor?
Oh yeah, sponsored by AA this week.
Do we need to properly separate the sponsor from this shit?
All right, we'll talk about AA in a bit then.
Oh god,
this is fine. And Jack Verk, we might have to do it a little bit further down the line, actually. Actually, I'll do last quote of the week after that. Should we maybe bookend it?
Jesus Christ. Do the last quote now.
Okay, Live Jasmine, yeah?
Is this a porn thing as well?
Yeah.
They're the horrendous pop-ups you get out of.
So we've got a task out for some of our listeners to do this game that we used to do in the office at Bull Street, where someone will walk in, usually Cameron,
or
Jed, come in and go, "Live Jasmine, yeah?" Without warning them, they go, "What?" Huh?
Yeah, if you could, do that around your office and film them as they do it. Just
okay,
"Live
Shad.
Jasmine, yeah?" And they go, "What?" They know.
So can I do the sponsor bit now?
No.
Yeah.
Do a football bit and then the sponsor bit.
Okay. Right.
But it's not like you haven't worked in this for 4 years, Jim.
I know, but it could be the last podcast of the...
Don't you just tell 888 where the bit is and then hope that they only go there?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, sounds
fine. But then it's
I'm down with that.
They understand it. Let's do 888.
Go on then.
So they're up to their old tricks again. Another lovely little bit of debate going on, this time with a Liverpool fan, and not Chris, and... what's his name?
McCola,
back again.
Big
and they're talking about, in particular... The Champions League miracles, which we'll be talking about, what could happen this weekend, could be another Champions League miracles. You both had them in the semi-finals. And which one is better, Tanvir? You're a die-hard Man United fan, so you can chip in on this one. Which one was a better feat, a bigger miracle? United 99 or Liverpool 05. You'd have to watch the video. Go over to the video and comment and tell us. Tell them we sent you. And you'll have to find out yourselves by clicking on the video to find out who Mercola went for.
What? The Liverpool fan went for. Yeah,
exactly. Wow. There's only one way to find out.
Cliffhanger.
Go on.
Link is in the description.
I never in my life expected a turnaround in 8.5 minutes or so like happened in that second half. It is the miracle of Istanbul for a reason.
No English club has ever won the treble. Manchester United sealed the treble when the pressure was on. Sealing the treble, the Premier League, the FA Cup, the Champions League in 10 days, in that circumstance, in that fashion.
Be honest, Chris.
Yeah, 05.
Really?
And the reason why is Man United's 99 team were a better team than us in 05.
They didn't have, is it Bishkan?
Yeah.
Who was going to Bishkek?
Traore.
Traore is terrible.
And Harry Kewell was and all of these players, Kewell going off and all that type of stuff. And we were playing the best side in Europe at
they
the
were.
Time. And we were 3-0 down. Like, Bayern Munich were a top side and they may have been the best side in Europe in 99. But Man United were a better side. So for us to come back from 3-0 and win it in the way we did, I think is a better
the mountain. The mountain for Liverpool was greater. But the time that Man United had to turn that around and the way they did it.
Two goals, two minutes.
But you've seen that happen many, many times during a football match over a season, right? It might not be, the stakes might not be as high, but you do see it. Whereas what you wouldn't see is a team come back from 3 goals at half time at that stage, at that level. You don't often see that, do you?
No, you don't.
So I'm going for Liverpool.
I can't think of another example of that.
Nor can I.
I was trying to think, because my initial thought is, yeah, Liverpool 05. The one thing, I was trying to find a way that you make it Man United. Liverpool, they got the 3 goals, but they only won on penalties. So if it's important to you that the win is an actual proper...
I mean, by the rules of the game, goals, we did win.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming. But you didn't win the game, did you?
You're a bookie now. You're not paying out on 05 Istanbul because we didn't do it in normal time.
I'm just saying, Chris, if that's important to you,
yeah.
If you want to win the game and in normal time.
I never thought of it like that. Actually.
Well, I thought, you'd like 99 more because if you're watching it as a video, there'd be a spike right at the end.
Yeah, you just skip
to the end for the last 2 minutes.
Was it Solskjaer scored it? Yeah. That was the spaff on the face.
Solskjaer literally spaffs on Lothar Matthäus's face.
And Oliver Kahn as well.
And Kafur, wasn't it? Kafur was in, he was in bits.
Whereas ours is more of a cock hero doing to the beat. He watched the whole fucking thing.
Yeah. I'm pleased we kept the two different.
What's a cock hero?
Cock hero?
I don't really know.
It's like Guitar Hero.
I think I've been told that there's these type of porn videos, right? That you have to stroke to the beat.
Oh, like
it's
guitar
an endurance
hero.
Test, basically.
Right. What? People have turned wanking into a game.
Yeah. Mate, you've definitely tried that before. I've been told.
Hang on a minute. Covered myself.
I've been told. But that's fine because we're all men.
What, like heavy metal or what kind of music?
I'll show
it?
You.
What is there buttons? Is there buttons? Like you got to pretend there's buttons on your cock.
Just EDM, 240 BPM.
It's like saying go fast.
So it starts off slow and you've got to keep that going for a long time. Then you move up. You might like game up and then it goes a bit faster and stuff like that. And then right towards the end it gets furious.
Do you know what? I am getting a little bit bored. So, and I need to.
What are we trying to keep these two?
If we're going to turn, I'm well up for turning masturbation into a game. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll get on next week.
Okay. Wow. Now I was going to get them involved in the comments. No games, please. No masturbation games. But what you must do is head over to the 888 YouTube channel. Let us know your thoughts. Was it 99 or was it 05? And tell them that One for the Weekend sent you because it makes us look good. Link is in the description. Go and do that right now. Thank you very much.
Flav?
Yeah.
Might happen, mightn't it?
What?
This might be the greatest week of your
life. Can we talk about Arsenal first?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, right.
Part one has happened.
Do you know the weirdest thing, right? There's two things I want to talk about, right? Firstly, is I should have felt more. I should have felt more when Chelsea beat Arsenal. I was sitting on my phone looking for inspiration. I've never not needed that when it comes to Arsenal.
Looking
for inspiration. What do I tweet now that's going to stab them in the heart?
You nailed it. To be fair,
yeah. that tweet about Rob, fuck's sake, Robbie,
have
hurry
you done
up.
That before?
No, I hadn't done it before, but I was also in bed, tired, and it would come from a genuine place. I needed to sleep, and because we're doing this morning, and it hadn't gone up yet, and I know he works hard. No one can question Robbie's work ethic.
Never.
But last night, he slacked a little bit, and I weren't happy.
I was disappointed though, because Vooj had tweeted earlier in the day, the Wi-Fi is really good here, so Arsenal Fan TV should turn it around. So I was just sat there waiting for it. And it was like midnight when I saw your tweet or whatever. I gave it till about 600 refreshes of Arsenal Fan TV's Mate, page, and then went, I can't deal with
all this. I kept seeing was a fucking preview of DT and
Robert,
yeah, just I really was like, is anyone 4K? And I want that. I want DT going mental. And you know what? Fair play to DT. You knocked it out of the park. You knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
I loved it because like everyone must have seen it by now. But if you hadn't, DT is having a right go at someone behind him because the guy goes to him, at least you get more hits on your video. And DT obviously naturally loses it because he's emotional. He's upset. He's just seen his team get absolutely fucking pumped. And you know, he's unhappy. I get it. But what I loved was the bloke turned around to him and went, how many fucking games you been to, mate?
DT.
It's been documented for about 6 years that he's gone to every single game home and away.
That's such a crap line, isn't it?
But DT comes back and goes, but this is your first game, mug. He's in Baku. If that's his first game, what a legend. Loved it. So the other thing,
you say loved it. And that's poor chat all round, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Disappointing. They're all. You know,
you want
a
quick one-liners from
Jim?
DT,
you know when
expect
you
more.
You know when you used to sort of question referees when you used to play Sunday League level, right? And you used to say, "You're lost.
You're out of your depth.
You're out of your depth here, right?" That whole conversation was so emotional, and that's part of the problem with fan TV is you're getting people when they're most wound up, and then you're sticking it on the internet.
Almost euphoric.
Or euphoric. So you've basically got, you know, here nor there already in terms of, you know, there's always a risk. And I understand why it's done. And Redmen have done something similar as well. You don't do it as much though, do you? As much.
No, we decided to combine fan cams into one video for everyone. Right. So you're still getting people's opinions, but you're putting them in a group setting and you're not sort of taking advantage of them in any way, shape.
You win most games.
We do tend to.
And I don't think DT's been taken advantage of in any way, shape, or form. He's completely complicit.
He's been doing this for long enough.
And he can afford like thousands of pounds direct flights to Baku, so he must be doing all right. So, I do know. Robbie said, I'm so glad I got a direct flight.
I know, but
I've been watching all the content this week.
Yeah, they might have got that. I don't know how they got that direct flight.
So, but the thing, better than the game, Jim, right? Better than the game, right? Was the reaction of Arsenal fans over the...
Can you come back?
Sorry, I'm excited.
So excited.
Over the... And I got my mates to make a list of all the things that they've seen on the internet from after the game. So what we counted was Arsenal fans burning shirts.
What?
An Arsenal fan...
burning shirts.
They've been burning
really?
Their shirts.
Yeah.
Burning their shirts, right? And... because
to be fair, they've got Adidas coming in, haven't they? So
that is, and you know,
yeah,
but they're just like burning last year's shirt, so burning that. Obviously, this guy Lee Gunner, I don't know if you've seen that, right? He's been caught talking about
profit. Is that the younger guy?
It's one of the guys on there. Yeah. I don't know. He's been caught on a live stream. They did a live stream. They thought the stream had ended, laughing about making money off of defeats, and digging out Bellerin because of what he said, and that was really bad. But, you know, let's kick him while they're down. DT saying Spurs will be in the Europa League. This happened a couple of weeks ago. Troops also saying the same thing. Bellerin talking about us being in their shadow. Torreira crying, the little kid crying in the stand. Fucking rounded my life. That was the best bit. You see him, he's like, Dad, why are you taking me all the way to Baku for this?
They said they'd win.
But the best thing was the Arsenal fans having a big fight on the tube.
Had a big fight on the tube?
Right, I've done it. I've blown my load. I've got it out. Sorry, guys.
Tube here, they had a massive fight.
Where there was like four lads just having a go at each other. Well, actually, it was two lads having a go at each other and their mates just holding on to them like this. It was good.
You've missed the fact that they're shit.
Yeah, mate.
Surely that must give you as much joy as all of that
shit,
stuff.
Though. I thought they played all right.
They were all right going forward.
Yeah.
But they are just...
defensively, they were all over
it was two really mediocre teams. Yeah. And the one with the most experience won out. Which I think was going to happen.
I thought Chelsea showed the quality that they had. Like individual quality.
Well, they carved them open.
And they were kind of like, after the first 15 minutes, Arsenal were a much better side. and sort of pressed them high, and I thought that's what they're going to carry on doing, and they're going to, you know, win it. I thought they were going to win the game. But then kind of Chelsea kind of found their feet a bit. Giroud is actually really, he's such a, they're so much better with him as like a focal point.
Can I just say something about Giroud?
Yeah.
After the game, he went, the journalist went, he didn't celebrate. And he goes, well, look, I owe Arsenal a lot. You know, they took me for France, and, you know, a big part of the player I am is because of the time that I spent with Arsenal. And I was looking at it and I was thinking, like, let me take my Spurs hat off. That's a respectful thing to say. Like, he celebrated, but he didn't over-celebrate.
Yeah.
He gauged it exactly right. As soon as he got on the team bus, one of the players are videoing him. He's got the trophy. He walks down the bus and he goes, thank you, Arsenal!
Brilliant.
All right, so basically I'm at a position
It's the best
now.
Trophy though, that, isn't it?
It looks
It's glorious. It's a great trophy.
I think the Champions League trophy.
No, it's not.
No, it's because it's got handles and you can really go like that.
It looks class, like the Europa League trophy. The trophy does look class.
It's nice. Yeah, I think...
I'm spent.
Just talk about the game for a second.
Okay, go for it, yeah.
I did a quick video afterwards with Hugh Izzy, who'd had an emotional night. And...
How many Arsenal games have you been to? Why are you allowed to take the hits on an Arsenal defeat?
See, that when you're neutral, you can take hits on all the teams.
Yeah. Okay, sounds.
Yeah. I'm like a little Sky Sports, but with less quality. Anyway, I sat down with Wizzy.
You'll get it.
And he said fraud. He likes to use the word frauds. He's saying that the whole team, they're frauds. And then I went, but when I'm looking to judge a team, and I think you can do this with Chelsea as well, because there's a lot of confusion about their season, because they've kind of, like, on a macro level, they've done everything that's been asked. Like, finished third, won the competition that they were in, like, got to another final, whatever. But, like, still there's this kind of, like, disdain towards Sarri and all that stuff. But they'd done what was asked of them. But when I judged these teams, and when I judged Arsenal, I look at, like, what was I expecting from them at the start of the season? How good was that squad at the start of the season? And if you've gone, like, beyond that, like, Liverpool have this season, or like Wolves have this season, then you go, wow, you've done something amazing. But for Arsenal, their season has been exactly what I thought it was going to be. So I kind of said that to Wizzy, is it? And he was like, yeah, absolutely, that squad's not good enough.
So how are they frauds if they've just achieved what they probably could have and should have achieved?
Exactly. How are they frauds? I think like that squad, is, like you say, there's so much more quality in that Chelsea squad. It's not been... It's been a bit clunky for Chelsea. But if you were going to sell that Chelsea squad and then sell the first 11 and then sell the Arsenal first 11, Chelsea 11 makes a lot more money,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, and you look at the amount of money saved in wages, wouldn't be that much different between Chelsea. So there is, like, I get the Arsenal fans' perspective and position that they have, a lot of money has been spent on not a great deal of quality. And you look at their ability to acquire players in
because
the summer.
Because of the wages.
The wages have hindered them massively. The Sanchez and Ozil situation where they got bent over by Ozil. Not because a player of his quality doesn't deserve top wage. It does. It's just that they shouldn't have paid that. And as it's turned out, but they couldn't at the same time lose Sanchez and Ozil. So you can understand why they were doing it. But both of those players won. Because Ozil got this huge contract for 3 years. Sanchez has turned out to be incredibly poor, and it's clearing up as well. So anyway, Arsenal are hamstrung. They didn't get all the money they could have got from Sanchez. They didn't get Champions League football for the last 2 years, 3 years now. So I'm not sure what Arsenal fans are expecting, because the job of rebuilding that squad without the
finances... Look at the little smile on his face as he says all this stuff. He can't quite keep it in.
It's literally going to take them 2 years.
More than that.
Maybe more. But
four,
I'm just saying,
four
like,
to
best
five.
Case scenario.
Easy. I think United are 4 and 5 away from challenging, and I think Arsenal maybe even further than that. I look at that Arsenal squad, and interesting that you mentioned like what Hugh Izzy was saying and stuff like that. Having watched all the Arsenal fan TV stuff, they all get it. They all know their players aren't good enough. They all know they've not spent enough money, but they won't accept that they still can't achieve things. That's the thing where the two things just don't align for me. It's like, they're all shit. We've not spent enough money. How have they not won this fucking thing? Well, hang on a minute. You're literally telling me over here why they're not good enough to do it. Why can't you just join the two up and go, yeah, we're just pretty shit at the moment. Like, it's mad. Like, but and then to call the players out, call them wankers and fucking all this type of stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't understand
confusing.
That.
I'm really confused by it.
It's not their fault. It's not Ozil's fault that Arsenal decided to pay him that money. It's not Torreira's fault that he's maybe not as good as Fabinho. It's not
the defender's thing with fault
that they're playing every week because they haven't signed anybody else.
The thing with Ozil as well, the way Emery's decided to play, and I think it's where he's done it at other clubs, as he was saying, he's never played with a number 10. He's always been about going down the sides. Right. Yeah, that team is it's the worst pattern of play that Ozil would want for a team.
They're
not overly possession based. They want to go vertically quickly. And there was a lot of moments where, because he's basically got to a point of going, right, let's be steady at the back so that we've got three, maybe five, and we haven't got the ball. But let's be able to go vertically quickly. And we've got our two best players up at the other end of the pitch, and they can link
which
up.
Which is why Iwobi's had a really good season, because the system suits his style of play perfectly. And why Aubameyang has been excellent, but you'd want him to play up top, but is forced to play on that right because of that system.
And but the problem why is it doesn't work with Ozil.
Yeah.
Ozil doesn't fit that way of playing. And so what they need to decide now, and that's why he wasn't playing earlier in the season. I don't think they fell out with him.
No.
He just doesn't fit what Emery was either doing that season or what he's going to do long term. And Ramsey's a bit more, has a bit more sort of hustle.
They missed him.
And so it worked, and they massively missed Ramsey. If Ramsey was fit, Ozil wouldn't have even played that game, I don't think.
No. But there's not many managers who can come in and decide on a system based on the players. In fact, the only top manager that I can think of that does that is Carlo Ancelotti, where he hasn't got a set system. He'll look at the players that he's got. Maybe he's got a system that he works towards. Yeah. Conte did it slightly at Chelsea, I suppose, but it was only a few months, wasn't it, where he decided, you know, we need to move to this three at the back, that's what I'm comfortable with and all that type of stuff. Emery, I think you've got to understand, has a system, isn't going to move away from that system. So until he's given the money and the players, it ain't going to work.
The other thing with these two teams and then Arsenal's end of season, I think there's only so much kind of like stoicism or like leadership or whatever that you can kind of instill into a group of players from a manager's point.
Institutionalized club, don't it?
Yeah. Well, I think, like, say Liverpool, you've got Milner. So if you cut a player in half and there's like ability and then there's all the characteristics, look at Liverpool or Spurs. Vertonghen, Alderweireld, Milner, Henderson, Van Dijk, even someone like Kane, there's leaders there. That Arsenal team.
Yeah.
Who is it? That was the biggest difference between Arsenal and Chelsea last night, is that you had kind of, even Giroud, say what you want about him, he's won World Cups, he's been there and done these things. Hazard was ready to step up, Pedro's won everything in the game. They've all of those guys kind of had that in them, or enough in them. Arsenal, the big part of the recruitment will need to be those guys who, when you go 1-0 down, the guys who can kind of go, right, okay, everyone calm down for a second. Because they then went for it and they were right for about 10 minutes, but then they got totally cut open down the other end.
Yeah.
And they're missing those characteristics.
You need a spine to win the league. And Leicester probably maybe make this point bullshit. But I remember doing a show a few years ago for Redmond where we analysed what Liverpool need to do. And we analysed all the league, the Premier League winning sides going back to 92, 93. And every one of them had an incredible spine with leaders. And it was something that Liverpool 4 years ago didn't have. Mm. You know what I mean? And when you look back at all those sides, think of the great Arsenal sides. You know, you can go goalkeeper in Seaman and then two centre-backs in Adams and Keown and Vieira and Petit and then a forward up top who's Thierry Henry or something like that.
Right.
Great spine. Man City now, Edison, great keeper. Yeah. Company, Fernandinho, Silva, Aguero, great thing. Manchester United, all of these sides had incredible spines.
In particular, that kind of DM guy. Like, they're playing two DMs because neither of them are really good enough to be that one guy, like Fernandinho, just stands there in the middle and deals with it all, if you know what I mean. That's where they're in a massive mess. The one thing I said to Wizzy yesterday was like, look at that Leicester squad, look at that Leicester team. I think if you go, right, you can have this team for next season, or you can have the Arsenal team.
Well, you're talking Leicester this year?
Yeah, I think I'd swap.
I think...
Because you've got proper men there as well.
Got real football men.
Real men.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Good British white men.
Lovely, yeah, lovely Aryan men.
Look, I genuinely think that Leicester have a great shout of finishing above Arsenal and getting into that top six next year. Their squad is I wouldn't say vastly underrated, because people are talking about him seriously. Brendan Rodgers is a good manager and will get a good tune out of those.
They're kind of
levelled
up
players,
it feels like.
Yeah.
And players that they've got players that are, they've got a bit better, and then they've got a bit better, like
year on year.
Like, I think you've got to hope that Guendouzi's amazing, Reece Nelson comes back and he's amazing, like Willock's amazing, or Iwobi actually turns into the player that they want him to be, which
there's
I don't
a lot of hope in there, and that's the problem. They need a plan. They need
hope that kills you as well.
Yeah.
It is absolutely the hope that kills you. So you can,
and
you can rest
that. Again, just to finish on Arsenal Fan TV, right, is because the confidence they had beforehand didn't match the performances that Arsenal put in at all. So this is what I'm saying. I'm not sure where Arsenal fans, they really understand football. And I think that why they're losing
their
shit.
You don't mean some Arsenal fans?
Well, I'm saying the ones I see on Arsenal Fan TV and elsewhere, is their pretty much confidence is completely, they're like Jekyll and Hyde because of the performance of the team. And you can only talk about your... I'll tell you what it is, what you mentioned earlier, Jim, about you don't understand... You don't understand why Arsenal fans react in the way they do, or something like that.
I'm confused by the fact that they're bemused by the defeat. They're playing Chelsea, who are really good, and they actually Arsenal played okay.
Yeah, they played okay. Chances. Yeah, exactly. So they should be a little bit more measured. The problem is the reason why they follow their football club is it wasn't based on the traditions of the club. You follow Liverpool because you follow Liverpool not just because you've had a great side, because the club means something to you and the city, right? It has some symbolism. Arsenal don't have any of that. All they've got, they're literally a club from another part of the country. So
I'd like you to have this debate with Wizzy, because Wizzy said a couple of things yesterday that I didn't know enough about to kind of challenge, but he was like, if you really look into that, it's
I'm not interested in having the debate with any Arsenal fans. Anything they have to say has zero bearing on me, on how I feel at all. Because I'm telling you how it is.
Because they're club.
But one of the things that you might be wondering why Arsenal Fan TV, the people who go on there, are so like optimistic and stuff is, there's only a small section of fans that are going to go over to Baku, and I'm pretty sure it's not the ones you think they're going to get beat.
Yeah.
It's not. Because they probably wouldn't bother.
No.
Like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
it's a long fucking way.
You either decide to go, you're that guy or you're not that guy.
You can't go to QPR if you think that you're going to win.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Just turn up and get upset and then go home.
Obviously, it's been a great few years for Liverpool, but you were going before that. And if Liverpool and the Spurs fell off a cliff, and, oh my God, can you imagine this? Played championship football. Then you'd still support them.
Oh yeah, but that's not the point, is it? The point is about feeling optimistic going into something. So in 2005, you know, I was riding the crest of a wave, probably like Tottenham fans have this season, stuff like that, where you think, this has all got to mean something. You know, that late winner against Olympiacos, it's got to mean something, you know what I mean? Go in there thinking we're going to snot AC Milan, who were the best side in the country. But I had hope, I still support and still wanted them to win. But I didn't go in there like fucking dick swing and we're going to batter these, you know what I mean? And after 6 minutes, it had retreated anyway.
But if that final was in Baku, and you could go, you'd still go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but I wouldn't still be the confident type.
But you still might not be like mad.
You'd go to follow the club.
You'd just be hopeful.
Yeah, hopeful's fine.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think that's an excuse to be... bizarre.
Stupid.
Not stupid.
It's just what the club that they are. It's the fans they've got.
Let's know your thoughts in the comments.
I'd rather have a fan base who were optimistic and thought that the team could win than the other way around.
But be philosophical in defeat at the same time. Not one that just burns their shirts after one game.
You said it yourself before. When you get videoed straight after something like that, you are going to show yourself at your absolute fucking worst, because you are at your absolute worst.
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
What I mean? So, you know, why don't we speak to them 2 days later? Why don't we ask for like a little throwback or something where we just go catch up with them and they go, I've not watched the game back, but they're not all wankers. They didn't really think they wanted to lose the game.
And therein lies the problem, innit? Therein lies the problem.
I'm lucky I get to do that. I get to talk 2 days later about a game that I've reacted to, and I can go,
same.
What a fucking ridiculous thing I said after the game.
Yeah.
What do you think about Chelsea then? And Sarri?
So fuck it. So, like, what do you want? What the fuck do you lot want?
I love Rory, right? But what was that fucking tweet about last night? Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Charlie hasn't won a trophy his entire career. 1 year and bang, we've sorted him right out. And he fucking hates him. and he ended it with, what a special club we are. You're fucking special, mate. You've got the whole wrong fucking reasons.
Rory, I'm pretty sure that some of that was tongue-in-cheek. If you'd have sent me.
A tiny bit, but he doesn't flinch with it. No. I totally respect.
I do respect it as well. He's got you third in the league. He's won Europa Cup, nearly two cups in one season. If you want him out and replace him with Frank Lampard, you are fucking...
Wait. Frank Lampard and Jody Morris.
Yeah.
Jody Morris is actually a good fit for an assistant manager at Chelsea because he's won the Youth Champions League with Chelsea. He knows all those kids that they're going to have to play.
Fine, I get it.
Mate, you're not telling me that if you told me a year ago that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and fucking Frank Lampard were going to be in charge of two of my biggest rivals, I'd have fucking bit your hand off.
The Lampard thing, I don't think it's the right call. You're doing that based on goodwill, not on any kind of actual facts. Because if we're talking about trophies and he was saying sorry and won anything, Lampard's just lost a playoff final.
Yeah.
Like, he's done no better, really, at the end of it all, than Gary Rowe at the season before.
Oh, yeah.
They look pretty fat. I know they play better football, but they've also got better players.
Yeah, yeah. Gary Rowe didn't have
fucking, what's his name? Mason Mount and all that.
It could still... And if you're sorry, you go, I'm off to Juventus.
Sorry said, it was a great win, but I wish I'd done it with Napoli.
I wish I'd done it. I dedicate this to the Napoli fans because I wasn't able to give them this happiness, is what he said.
Yeah.
Which is just basically a big fuck you to all the Chelsea
fans. So he should.
Yeah. I respect that. He's too good for them.
Funny, but that's
was he allowed to smoke
some
in the stadium?
He had a fucking fuck-up cigar.
Did he? Yeah,
absolute legend. I don't know where he smoked it. If it was me,
is this when they won?
Yeah.
Or when they were 4-1 up?
He wasn't smoking it. He had it in this, it was like one of those fucking massive Cuban...
Right.
They're all Cuban, aren't they? I don't know.
And nowhere else makes it as well.
Not like that. These are big ones. These are big fuck-off,
Cubans.
Who's that geezer who made drugs easy for everybody?
Howard Marks. Oh.
The big dog's here.
Big dog!
Big dog in every day. How's the album coming along? Big dog drama.
It's been good. It's been good.
Good,
big,
good.
What's that? Big dog, big drama?
Big dog drama. Big, big dog in your DMs is another one.
Life in the Kennel.
So you told us something off camera, which you probably don't want us to repeat, but definitely going to, you might be chirping online or talking to someone, and then somebody who listens to the podcast goes, here we go. Big dog sniffing around.
Big dog slaying it, or big dog's doing this thing, or big dog's talking to these girls. It's like, mate, just give over. Like, I'm trying to talk to someone and just...
Aren't you sliding into the DMs, big dog?
Yeah, shouldn't you be DMing? So you don't do it out in public.
Why don't you just slide straight into DMs? You know, you've got to just tip your toes in every now and then.
Do
and
you?
Just, post some funny memes, yeah.
You post a funny meme directly to the girl?
Or she'll say something and I'll say something funny or whatever, but just
who's the judge of you saying something funny?
Just me and her.
Okay, cool. And the rest of Twitter, by the way.
Yeah.
Right. Last week.
I won't stop encouraging you to follow every move that Tanvir makes on social media until he's had to change and lock and find a new account.
It will literally come to that point where I just block everyone off.
Mm. You can spin that and go, oh, it's just some of my fans.
Yeah.
It might work for you.
What, that call me the big dog?
With a W.
Absolutely not.
You need a name for them. You know what I mean?
Little dogs.
Or the pups.
Pups.
Or
pups.
I'm not starting to
little pups.
Little pups. There you go.
Little pups.
Yo, little pups, let me be, yeah? Let me do my thing.
They will actually start a group.
Yeah, yeah. Say little pups. And then say, big dog doing a thing. Just to admire a little pup of yours.
Yeah. last week you were saying we asked you, Wesleyan, what are you into last week? You were saying protein shakes. Rupert James said Flav is right about protein shakes. You need to take one within an hour of exercise, otherwise it will become fat because you're having them in the afternoon or something. Incognito said you realise that literally 95% of people don't need protein shakes.
First of all, the first guy, not about to take advice from him. Second guy. Not about to seek advice from him. Also, Flav, right. This guy doesn't do any exercise, so he's not about to tell me anything.
Yeah, but I don't need to do exercise to read a book,
mate. I've done my research. I know that protein can be taken in the morning, and it also doesn't need to be taken half an hour before or after exercise.
Listen to me.
Because
listen,
the exercise rate and the anabolic period that you have doesn't come just within that window.
This is falling apart. You're losing
and,
it.
And don't say that about Flav. Like, he might not have had an STD, but he has written a 36-page leaflet on it.
Thank you very much.
Knowledge and...
I know how to not get AIDS. Doesn't mean I'm going out bumming everything.
He worked out with a kettlebell once and broke his back for like 3 weeks. I don't want to hear it.
You're not getting me here. The problem is you. You're the subject. Right, and what you're doing is you're reading shit that you're looking at your echo chamber. What do I want to see? I want to sip protein at my desk all day, so you'll read shit that makes you do that.
Yeah.
Listen to me, I'm trying to help you. I don't want you to lose all the weight, to put on all the weight you've lost.
You'll be like medium dog if you don't listen to this one. Yeah. Not the fucking big dog, man.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is from a little pup.
Just to say,
I'm a big fan of yours.
Jesus. Just say, Champions League preview on its way. What are you slaying this week? What are you into this week, T? You're a tastemaker.
Absolutely nothing. Stop commenting on my Twitter. Stop following me on Instagram.
You said you had something before the pod.
Yeah, that was it.
What?
stop writing all over my Twitter and stop commenting on my things.
You're doing the worst thing you can do right now.
So, up to you guys. Your call. But the important thing is that Tav has highlighted that he's not enjoying you commenting on his chirps.
And what is his Twitter again?
It's just for new viewers.
Man fans might come over and watch.
Yeah, exactly. Tanvir. Aryan, AYRAAN.
Well, he's butchered that spelling. Perfect. None of you will ever know.
Tanvir, would you mind just putting a graphic on with it?
Yeah, could you?
Well, no, what we'll do, we'll tweet it out.
Yeah, sure.
Get him.
I'll retweet it from Redman. Yeah, we've got nearly 200,000.
Yeah, we've got 200,000. Yeah, I've got 46.
You've literally never retweeted any.
Your community posts on YouTube as well.
Yeah. Get it going. JLA. Get it out there. Amazing.
What was you going to say?
You've never retweeted anything I posted from Ball Street, but you retweeted a video last week of a guy hitting his daughter in the head with a football.
That was brilliant, though. The technique. Do you know what I'm talking about? So he sends his daughter to run in the goal, and as she's running off, the beautiful technique just chips it onto the daughter's head and just sends her flying.
Did you see the little kid who knocked his own tooth out this week onto a test?
I've also posted that. This was
fucking brilliant. So he tied a football to his tooth and then tied it, pinned it somehow, the rope into the football, and booted the ball. And he went, pump, and he went, it's out. just ran off.
Does a little hop, doesn't it? Because he's like, Champions League final preview, here we go.
Okay.
Tyler Norton said this. Idea for a bit next week. Preview the Champions League final.
That's what everyone's expecting. You should never do what people expect.
No, but this is the honestly
And
bit.
Don't trust people who say honestly.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is
everything they said before isn't honest.
He said literally everything before the word honestly.
Forget any kind of feeling bias.
So remove bias.
Remove everything.
I can do that.
How do you honestly see this game going?
Go on, Pedro.
I'll be honest. First of all,
honestly,
I like the fact that we're actually talking about the Champions League final after 40 minutes. Because I got a train at 6:05 this morning to do this show, and I was told it was a Champions League final preview.
It is.
This is the pod.
It's an enjoyable podcast.
You enjoy it? Oh, you're having fun. It's lovely having you, Pedro.
Probably not. I hope that my wife doesn't watch the first part of the show.
We can probably cut that out. I hope not, though. It's good.
Totally fine.
She's cock hero, right?
Something like that. I can't remember the name exactly. You're not looking at the title of the video, are you, mate? So I'm really confident going into this game. I'm confident because I've watched Liverpool just steamroller teams all season long, and I'm so excited, but the wait has been fucking horrendous.
It's been a long wait. Well, that was the question I was going to ask as well, is that people will be talking about Premier League form or the semi-finals. Do you guys know anything of what's happened since the last day till now? What's happened in that period of time at Spurs in terms of injuries or, what Pochettino's been saying?
Yeah.
Because I think everyone's going to focus on things that are actually totally irrelevant because you've had such a long period of time since the end of the season to this game.
Firstly, the breaks helped us because we had injuries.
So who's back?
We haven't got any injuries.
Zero injuries?
Yeah, well... We're full strength, but Kane, you know, he's going to be match fit. That's the issue. And
he said that as well, isn't he? He said match fit, like not. Okay, that's the big thing with this is that it's an ankle injury. It's not like, I don't know. You, with an ankle injury, you can still kind of keep your fitness up to a point. You just have to do it in different ways. Well, like if it's a muscle injury, that's different.
Yeah, but we've seen for last three seasons, Kane's had this injury, and it's.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Taking him a while to get back into his pump, and we ain't got a while, we've got one game. But we have had a break as well, so he was often thrown back in before he was ready. Yeah. Maybe we'll be ready. Pochettino won't start him if he isn't fit.
Do you think that?
Yeah. No.
I'm not sure about that.
What do you mean if he's not fit?
If he doesn't, well, they do the test, don't they? They understand the fitness of, and what right. a player's capable.
But also, if it's like pain, and he'll just lie.
Yeah, that's true.
Or you take a pill.
Yeah, but I just he doesn't start Kane unless he's 100% fit, and we won't have issues scoring goals if Kane isn't playing. That's the issue. So it's about what you give up. If we can score goals against anyone, whether Kane's in the team or not. So you really do have to gauge how fit Kane is, and if we do need to change it. And in a way, going up against Van Dijk would be bread and butter if we'd go direct against Van Dijk. I think the way we could potentially get at him is with like a playing a false nine, three forwards who are going to be in
Ali Moura and Son?
Yeah, probably Ali Moura and Son. Or a diamond with Eriksen in the.
So what would your team be if you're picking it?
I would play 4-2-3-1 with, and I would, providing Kane was fit, obviously start him. If he wasn't, then I'd play a diamond with Moura and Son up front. And then in midfield, right. You've got Eriksen, Dele, Sissoko, and probably Wanyama or Winks. But I'd like Wanyama in as well.
I'd like it if you played a 4-2-3-1 because you played that the first game we played against you, didn't we?
Yeah.
That was the game at Wembley where
we
counter-attacked you, didn't we, big time?
Like absolutely.
Something ridiculous, like I think it was a season high 7 counter-attacks from us and, you know, 4 big chances and all this type of stuff. And we were incredible in that game. And what you did differently in the second game was you started 3 at the back, didn't you? But then you switched it at half-time to 4-4-2 and you had Moura and I forget who was up front with him. Was it Moura and Kane, was it?
Kane played.
Moura and Kane, I think. And the second half, when you switched to 4 at the back, you were really good.
Yeah.
And you actually dominated us. And, you know, everyone knows how unlucky you were to get beaten there. But so that 4-4-2 seemed to work. Because it's something that Manchester City did against us this season, but not last season. Manchester City, the first time, tried to play like 4-2-3-1s against us and play up through the middle of the park last season. And we can pick the ball off quickly with our midfielders and get it to our strikers, like a proper counter-press. Whereas what Man City did this season is they just ignored the middle of the park. And if you look at like how Manchester City built up against us, Bayern Munich copied it when we played them at Anfield. And they just said, if we're going to lose the ball, we're going to lose the ball on the wings because we can get into a defensive shape from the wings really quickly and really easily. And they did that. that. Tottenham did a lot more of that in the second game when they went to that 4-4-2. Almost ignored the centre of the park and tried to build up down the wings. That's why I think Pochettino would like to play a three at the back. But I think the players would like to play that four at the back because of how well they played that second half against us.
Well, at Ajax, we started with three at the back and it fell apart very quickly. It was only when Sissoko came back in and we switched to a four that we started to get control in both legs.
So, Chris did an amazing interview with Jamie Carragher, which I was watching yesterday, and he touched on that, didn't he? And he touched on the fact that, and it fits with what you're saying about Ajax, is Pochettino wants to play three, Carragher was saying, but he doesn't trust that the Spurs players are comfortable playing a three. He thinks they're more comfortable playing a four. And so that's why he thinks he'll play a four. Was that right? Do you agree with that?
I don't know. I don't know what that means. I mean, sometimes he's played three, sometimes he's played four. I don't know if...
I would say
his most comfortable formation, what he likes, is the 4-4-2, but in a diamond. That's what he likes. I don't know that. Carragher understands football better than I ever could. I've never come to that assumption.
One of the things that I find really interesting is, first of all, is it three or four at the back? But for me, how long has Kane actually been out for? It's a genuine question. I'm
April
not leading
9th.
In April the 9th, so April, May, June. And so we play in a different system without him.
We've played. Our mainstay.
Do the forwards work in a different way when he's not there?
Yes, but not in a different system. It's just a different playing style. So obviously,
That's what I would probably say. Why they shouldn't bring Kane back in. Not because he's not a great player and a great finisher, who will be brilliant for the Spurs side, but because they haven't. If they've changed if the forwards play in a different way when Kane's not there, you're asking them to go back 2 months. To something they haven't done for 2 months, and that's the thing that interests me.
Yeah,
if you bring it in for a one-off game, I'm like, well, hang on.
The system's the same. It's just that Lucas Moura is such a different player to Harry Kane that naturally he does different things.
He
drops a lot more.
So that's kind of my point. Everyone else takes the movement off where your centre forward is. If he's doing different things, everybody from your midfield and the rest of the forwards are doing different things because of Lucas Moura's position. I would say the way that you've got here and play, I would say stick to what you've been doing for the last 2 months rather than throw Kane back in and ask everybody to play slightly differently again.
I think Kane will be on the bench and he'll be brought on.
If I was Pochettino, I would do that as well, because I think you're not going to win the game in the first half, but you might need something.
You're definitely
going to
concede
half.
In the first half.
You're definitely going to concede.
Always concede.
Right.
Every single important game we played this season, we concede within 10 minutes.
But I think you need to have the option of Kane and Llorente to bring on in the second half. If Kane, the only thing I'd be worried about with that with Kane is, are you concerned that you'd bring on Kane and then he'd have to come off? If you don't have that concern, you're just worried about his match fitness, then...
Well, then you don't start him, do you, then?
That's what I'm saying, you don't start him.
Yeah.
You bring him on. And
when everyone's fitnesses have dropped.
Yeah, and also, when it's calmed down a little bit, and also I think it's a moment for everyone. Like, the Liverpool players be going, okay, it's Harry Kane's coming on. It's not like, oh, Harry Kane's coming off, or Lorenzo.
But it's how you deal with that, James, because if we're in a position, Liverpool, where they're bringing Harry Kane on, we go, they're desperate here.
But I think you know that regardless,
you know what I mean?
Based on the scoreline, don't you?
Yeah, of course you do, but that this is a roll of the dice, and you're probably thinking to yourself, he's not fit enough to play, I can deal with him, because they'd have started him if he's fit enough to play, because he's Harry fucking Kane.
Maybe.
But if you played 60 minutes in that high-pressure environment, I'd much rather Harry Kane, 80% fit, coming on at that point. I think that's more logical. Yeah. I don't know if it's a roll of the dice.
You can't want him. Like, you've got to plan for extra time and pens, which means you can't plan to... You want Kane to take a penalty, don't you? If you get to penalties. We're the same with James Milner. We're like, well, do you start Milner, do you start Wijnaldum? Milner's one of the best penalty takers we've got. Mm. You absolutely need him there. 33 years old. Is he going to do 120 minutes and take a penalty for you if you get that far? I'd be looking at that with Kane and going... If it goes penalties, I want him on the pitch,
and
I can't start him if that's the case.
When you're talking about rolling the dice as well, I think that's something that is likely with Spurs. You might need that. The Spurs are the underdogs in this game, and so that's a good roll of the dice to be able to chuck on a world class striker in Harry Kane.
Yeah, there's nothing better than Adam Lallana for us last year, like
Better than Llorente or you know.
I've got a lot of time for Llorente because he's not that fashionable a forward, but has done great things. So it would be unfair of him not to be considered as an option. That said, having Kane anywhere near fit and on the bench is a massive plus point.
Is there any way that Llorente Llorente starts this game? Because I think Dele Alli is a much better player when he's got Kane or a Llorente.
Yeah, but the problem is that this isn't, we're not facing an inexperienced De Ligt here. We're facing, in form, the best centre-back in Europe who can deal with a direct football being pumped at him.
But isn't it just about, so again, if you're managing the entire game and you want to get Harry Kane on at some point, is it one of those where you keep the ball away from the goal, you play a few longer balls to Llorente, who holds the ball up and gets other people involved, it allows you to get up the pitch, because his hold-up play is great.
It is great against certain defences, but I don't, what worked against Ajax, and it didn't work against City, it's definitely not going to work against Liverpool and the fucking Matip, it would be Matip, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
giant. And Van Dijk is incredible. So what we do, this is what I think, and this is what I hope, right? Lucas Moura is intrinsic to us getting anything out of this game and winning this football match. And it's not that his ability to finish, because...
More so than the other guys?
I think that the reason being is we won't have the luxury of having huge amounts of possession. So when we do have it, we need people who are going to be able to keep it and recycle and create opportunities for other players. We've got two players that can hold the ball and create space when in possession. Sissoko's one, who's been incredible at that this year, probably our most important player. And then you've got Lucas Moura, who gets the ball in the most low percentage positions of the pitch and finds that he uses his skill, balance and ability to create space where there suddenly isn't any. Yeah. We need that. That's going to be so important to how well we can play, because if we give up possession to Liverpool, as we've seen, they made Barcelona look awful. And that wasn't about Barcelona being awful. I made the joke about this being the worst Barcelona team ever. I'm joking about that, but lots of people in the comments thought I was being serious. This is that they beat us, smashed us at Wembley 4-2, so they're not a joke. Liverpool made them look fucking the most... So, it didn't look like Barcelona to me. I had never seen a team so rattled. Rakitic is a world-class player, but didn't know what was going on. Messi had flashes of brilliance, but essentially Liverpool choked them out. Mm. So if Barcelona struggle keeping the ball, then Spurs have got to be at the top of their game in order to have some influence on this. And Moura and Sissoko are going to be important in doing that.
I agree. I think Moura is the most important player for Tottenham going into this game. I think
it's not just about his goals.
Exactly, he wriggles out of the press at times as well.
Yeah, he does. And, I think for us, it's about our fullbacks getting up the pitch. Everybody knows it. You know, Trent and Robertson have had so many assists so far this season. Moura's given Trent problems when he's cut inside on him.
You were saying to Carragher in that video about Trent, and what I was getting from you was that you were suggesting that he's had little struggles this season. Is that right? What were you trying to get across? What were you expecting Carragher to say? Because he was saying that he's done a documentary with him, hasn't he? But he was saying that he's taken everything in his stride. I thought you was kind of suggesting that
not really. I mean, he hasn't had it all his own way at times. He does sometimes struggle in a defensive sense. Like, he's still a brilliant right back. It's one of those things, I think sometimes us as football fans go into it and go, oh, he got beaten there. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah,
quite
he did.
Daring, isn't it, fullbacks?
He did. Yeah. But, he's up against a world-class winger, and the winger had the ball, not the defender. It happens throughout football. Our wingers go past players about 75% of the time. Doesn't mean the fullbacks are shit, it just means our players are good.
Yeah.
And so when Trent has his little struggles and stuff, it's just part and parcel of the game. You can't win every tackle as a fullback.
So young.
Mustard. The geezer's mustard. Yeah. And it's not just about, he's obviously going to have frailties in his defence. And he will have throughout his entire career, like all defenders. Even Maldini was beat every now and then. But if you look at the positive parts of, how old is he, 19?
20.
20 years old. Focus on what he does well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, not at all.
His technique is incredible.
What's the Liverpool team?
Alisson, Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, Robertson, Fabinho, Henderson, and either Wijnaldum or Milner. I'll say Wijnaldum. Salah, Firmino, Mane is the front three. 4-3-3.
Talking about fullbacks, do you worry about Trippier?
Yeah, every day, every minute.
It might be in the Ajax game. He's sort of holding his groin. He said he'd been struggling with that all season, and he knows that's affected his performances. That's kind of a big area, isn't it?
That doesn't alleviate any of my worries. Like a full, fully
just giving
fit,
context.
Fully fit Trippier has you know, some concerns that I should have about him. One that isn't fit is fucking terrifying. But you play him over Cole Walker-Peters and Aurier, who won't play anyway, because of his experience at the World Cup and in these huge games. And while playing for Spurs, we have managed to get over the line. But Mane versus Trippier is absolutely terrifying.
That's another thing that he would want to play threes, because that they play quite narrow a lot of the time. Well, Mane makes those sort of diagonal runs right across. And in a four, that's really confusing for the right back, because he goes, do I
pass him off? Do I go with him?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's why I'm intrigued.
Mane's incredible, man. So this season, I mean, he was our best player 2 years ago. Salah comes in and blows him up. And I just forgot. But this season, it's his heading, his leaping, his positioning. His finishing's not the best. You know, there are a lot of forwards in the world. There's only one forward that can say the finishing is the best, isn't there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Sadio Mane has been absolutely incredible for us. Like, the way we've gone about it is, why I think Liverpool are in a good position is because we've been playing knockout football for about 3 months. You know what I mean? Because we haven't been able to lose games to just hang on to the coattails of Manchester City in the league. You know, the game we lost was Barcelona, you know, in the Nou Camp. You can lose that. You'll lose that 9 times out of 10, to be fair, won't you? Maybe not in the,
and
you know, by the goals we did.
As well.
We were really good in that game. Mm. It doesn't stop you being disappointed and stuff, but the way that we've just sort of kept on grinding out results, late winners, it's like we're not going to be denied. That's what I keep thinking at the moment, and it feels very much like a side who are favourites in Liverpool going against the side with an unbelievable narrative this season. Yeah. Who also don't think they're going to be denied.
Well, let's we were saying let's be kind of honest with it. Let's like drift into that world now, like the kind of like dreaming of it, like the romance of it, the fact that you're like, you know, how plucky it's been, the kind of the shithousery of getting through on away goals and the stuff like that. Does that make you think?
I take exception about shithousery.
And the whole like the Arsenal element of it.
Over the 90 minutes, we scored more than they did. You know, the value of our goals was better than those, therefore
you
we went for
more than them, did you?
But in terms of the away goals, yes, we did.
Is this you messing around with the rules again, James? Because the rules are the rules, and every, like, Ajax knew the rules going into the game.
Yes.
So, no, you know, you can't just blame Tottenham for
But AC Milan Liverpool was a draw. Just to be clear.
Right now, we're all dreaming. Yeah, look, if we do it, it would be an incredible, like, I can't even understand what it's going to feel like. And the weird thing about it is that also, I understand acutely what the pain is going to feel like if we don't do it, because the stakes have never been this high, but I know it, I feel it,
I'm still feeling it from last year, mate.
Right, well, there you go. Thanks for that, Chris. I didn't really anticipate it being a year from now that I'd still feel pain, but if you're saying it is, then great. We're in dreamland, and why not? You've got to be in the race. Any club in Europe would swap positions with Tottenham right now and Liverpool. Any club. So regardless of the stakes, you have to be there with the chance of going down in history as the club that won it before Arsenal.
I think there might be a few English sides that actually have that on it.
Not before Arsenal.
Yeah,
you're right, but not when you're Tottenham.
That is the big, like we were saying before we start filming, that is the thing for me, and that's why I like, it's got to be Spurs for me, just because.
The story, you know.
Just because of the story, and of the, like, it will be a new, like, you know, we talk about like Twitter banter and all that stuff, and there's the same thing with Spurs all the time, the Spursy thing, you haven't won a trophy, blah, blah, blah. I just can't.
We've got that though.
No, so you've stop. Won everything.
No, but
you've
we've
won,
had that.
You sing about it.
Clock, five times.
Clock hasn't won a final, six finals and all that type of stuff, you know what I mean? So we've got that. We've also lost the Europa League final recently. We've lost the Champions League final recently. We lost the league with 97 points and we lost it by a point. Don't tell me we don't deserve it for the heartaches that we've been through as well.
No,
all that type of stuff. Because this is just absolute crock of shit. Wait, Joe, we've beaten on the way here. Joe, we've beaten on the way here. The Serbian champions.
Right? Champions.
The French champions, the Portuguese champions, the German champions, the Spanish champions. My word, if we don't deserve to get to a Champions League final after beating all of that and then beating you.
That's got nothing to do with it.
It has all to do with it.
You do deserve it, you totally deserve it.
Chris, hand on heart. Like, I'm going to back you up what you're saying.
Every show I'm in, I never get to make a point.
Go on, listen to me.
You do nothing but talk all the time. It's me and Flav, part now, go away.
Listen. Like, out of, who deserves it? Like, who really deserves it in terms of football gods? I'm concentrating on it. It's Spurs who deserve it because we've never had it. You've had loads of good stuff. We haven't had any good stuff. It's like you're, it's like two kids. One kid's in the bottom of the house, like the house down the street that has a nice swimming pool, and he gets, he's got all of, he's got five PlayStations, and he can play on anyone and all the games. And I've got an Atari. That's it.
Yeah.
Maybe I can have a PlayStation.
Maybe the guy in this house. Maybe you. Maybe you're a and you don't deserve it. Maybe he's a really nice guy and he does deserve his five fucking PlayStations.
Right, yeah, I suppose. Mm. I think out of the two of us, I've been more of a this episode.
I don't think it's about any
and
of that.
And do you know what? I don't give a shit who you want to win. I don't care. I genuinely don't care who fans of all the other clubs want to win. It doesn't make any difference to me. And it's never going to make a difference. You're not going to convince me that I should want Tottenham to fucking win. So why are you trying?
I'm trying. I feel like we're making inroads, okay, Jack? Hurry, another hour and we can get to you.
I'm just giving you my perspective.
Nobody gives a shit.
You're a QPR fan.
It's my podcast!
I'm at least 25% of this pod.
Where's he come from?
You're a conduit to us having a conversation about the biggest game. If it was the playoff cup final... I mean, the playoff final. Is that what it's called? The playoff cup final? They had that on the
championship. Mate, no one cares.
Is it the championship? Is it called the championship still?
Yeah, if QPR were in the playoff in the championship, we literally wouldn't be talking about it.
We literally would not do a video on it.
Wouldn't do a video.
I know all this. What are you trying to convince me of this? I understand these points.
Just to get you back on side a little bit here, Flav. How many Premier Leagues have Arsenal won?
Oh, don't be.
Premier Leagues? I don't know. One? Two?
None. Premiership when they won it. So next time you fucking hear a shout like that, shove it back in the fucking faces.
You mean Premiership, you pricks.
Why are you counting Premierships and not fucking league titles from before the Premier League, you bellends?
And the chances of Arsenal winning the Premier League before us are so small.
Yeah, they are.
So small. And if we do win the
Champions League... How have you both come together?
And if we do win the Champions League...
You just know where his touch buttons are. You get about Arsenal, forget about Liverpool for a bit.
And if we do win the Champions League, could you imagine going back to fucking Emirates? Going back to the Emirates. 3,500 Spurs fans saying, Champions of Europe, you'll never sing that. Please, see, we deserve this.
You don't deserve it because you hate Arsenal. That's not a reason to deserve it because you hate Arsenal. We've had every single person outside of Liverpool in the country hate us forever.
That is a lot of negative energy.
That is a lot of negative energy, isn't it? You know what I mean? All the time, constantly going on about us all the time. Coming to Anfield, singing about Gerrard slipping, singing about all this stuff that they weren't involved in, singing about fucking signing on and all this shit.
Yeah.
And what do we do? Do we ever go to a stadium and sing about anybody else other than Liverpool Football Club? We don't, because we don't give a flying fuck about anybody else, because we're there to support our team. Stop it with your cantorous banter shite. I don't care about any of your other teams. I want Liverpool to fucking win. That's it.
But if they do talk about Premier League, it was Premiership, wasn't it?
Yeah. If Arsenal do,
Great point. Great point. Well made. Two male adult entertainers in a championship.
Let us know in the comments who deserves to win, Liverpool or Tottenham. Just say Liverpool or Tottenham.
Should I do a poll card?
Do a poll card. They probably spell fucking Liverpool wrong, but just put it out there. Just who
put Ranieri in it. Two male adult entertainers.
Hang on, just turn to him.
Oh, so
we had
hell.
Sorry, one moment. We're doing the team of the year. And
we're doing a right back.
Who's the best right back, right? And we put all of them. What was that? Neville. It's like, who else was it, Jim? And he had one job, and he put Seamus and then Coleman as two separate players.
I was rushed.
He wasn't rushed. He had all day to do it.
What do you think? One day is enough to vision mix and edit the podcast?
We're going to be quiet now, and you can carry on hosting properly. There's other bits. What time you got to go? You had enough?
No, not yet.
All right, cool.
Quick fire,
are we going to talk a bit more about QPR being shit?
Yeah.
It always comes up.
I'm so nice to both of you.
Yeah, you are, you are. This is sorry, mate.
All the time.
You literally made me day with a text message yesterday as well.
What did he
say? And I treat him like this.
Yeah, what did he say?
Do you know what it's like? I just realised what it's like. Have you ever watched a documentary on Scientology?
No.
So in Scientology, when anyone tries to make a point and dispute Scientology, what they do is, before you get to the end of the sentence, they cut you off. And they keep cutting you off. until you lose your temper, like I just did
there when I walked off.
Oh, right.
And because you can't get your point across.
Yeah.
And that's the world I'm living
you
in.
You actually made that point like twice. And
we didn't cut him off either.
Didn't cut him off.
That one, yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You should have cut him off.
I was really, no, I was thinking that he wanted us to cut him off, so I was going to let him finish and peter out with his shit fucking banter.
Shall I just take
He's
it
got two into this. He's got way too into this. The two male entertainers and the championship manager.
Right.
Sadie Salah. You should get this one, Flav.
Okay.
So one of these is a... Actually, this isn't... Okay, hang on. Orange Ape says this. Manuel Ferreira, Lee Johnson, Derek Pierce. One is a manager. Two are adult entertainers.
Well, Pierce has got to be something to do with an adult entertainer because he'd be piercing
Lee
people
Johnson's
left, right and centre.
Correct.
Is it?
Yeah,
I'm
well
fucking
done.
Nailing this. I've got last week's as well.
Yeah, you did actually. Last week's is a big guess.
Akadwesi.
What?
All-star manager.
Give one to Chris.
I'm going to.
Okay.
Don't you fucking start. Jesus. Mickey Mellon.
Mickey
Rod
Mellon.
Packer. Jarrow Handfluffer. One is a manager. Wait.
Mickey Mellon, the manager.
Correct. Tranmere. Final one from Rui Goodwin because he gave us a few. Where is it? Okay. So one of these is a porn star, two are Scottish managers. Dick Campbell, Alan Johnston, Logan Long. Which one is the porn star?
Dick Campbell, which one's the porn star? Oh, right, fuck. What was it? What was the last one? It was that one, it's obviously.
Logan Long.
Long was the porn star.
Like a Marvel sort of guy with the alliteration in there, Logan Long.
Dick Campbell is a manager of our growth. You never know where you might need that.
Yeah.
And Alan Johnston, Queen of the South.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Rui. All right, new rules, which was good last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So here's a few. So we basically said, think of some new rules. They don't need to be rules that would actually work. Like,
just what would make
actually,
football
like,
better.
Little things. Just things that might be interesting. So here's one for Josh Francis. One assigned player on each team can freeze opponent players by patting them on the head. Once frozen, they cannot move until a teammate has slid through their legs. So it's basically stuck in the mud. That would be quality.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Really good. What, like, you remember when Robbo rustled Messi's hair in the semi-final of the Champions League? Did you see that? He was sat down there. They'd be without Messi the entire game.
Yeah, yeah.
He couldn't get through his legs, could they?
His legs off.
Like, four-man.
You'd totally zone in on, like, their key player, wouldn't
you? Just like, everyone would be running around just going like that.
Yeah. It'd be so frustrating. I think it would probably ruin the game, to be honest.
Yeah, just a bit.
Robert Sharkey. Paper shirt, so it's clear when a player has been pulled in the penalty box.
Mate, they should definitely make shirts rippable.
Rippable?
Rippable.
Only in, but if it rains, then it's just going to be in the, I don't know. This is a similar one. If you get nutmegged on the pitch, this might work.
Sorry, that paper one's stupid, because you just rip your own shirt.
Yeah. There'd be like a new kind of diving where you go like that, yeah. Wouldn't you?
I was just here going, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's true. The view stands. If you get nutmegged on the pitch, you have to stand still in the position you were mugged off in. You can only way you can move again is if you get nutmegged by a teammate.
Yeah.
Can't be subbed off while frozen. Okay. Very clear on that, which I thought was good. Offsides still count. So if you get nutmegged, it's like third, it could hurt you.
Oh, so you'd be getting defenders trying to nutmeg strikers in the area so they always go offside.
And this is my favourite
one. High stakes poker, that way. Like.
Mm. Yeah. It's good, though. That would work.
I mean, it wouldn't, but it's a great idea.
Sure. This is my favourite one. Tom Sato. Once a season, a manager can yell, next goal wins. And it does.
3-0 down in Champions League final.
Let's go wins.
And it does exactly that. Very good. Also, in any game where you are trailing...
Hang on. To add on to that one, if no one then scores after that, is it a draw?
No.
So the team who'd scored goals prior to that does get the win?
Next goal wins.
Yeah.
No, you have to play on until there's a goal. That's how you do it.
Oh, right. Full plus now, right.
You play on. You keep playing.
Well, he says, also in any game where you're trailing at halftime, you can now activate a double or nothing clause where you can win. If you win, you get 6 points, but if you lose, you're deducted 3.
You just have City conceding a goal all the time.
Yeah, and then they
and
just
then play
to
half time and just go and score
you're
in
6. You're
good
at pulling these apart.
You are good at it. Any new rules next week, let us know, if we do a podcast, to be decided. And what could possibly be the last Flames advice? of the season, Flames Advice. My name's James, this is Flav. Together we are Flames. And when it's just the two of us,
I dread to think what those, what is it, 16 combined fingers have done in their lifetime, but I tell you what.
Jesus, I've never done anything with these, to be fair.
There's your masturbation game.
What could you do?
There's your masturbation.
What'd you do with a little finger during sex?
Up the bum.
In the
up the bum. Like, I don't know, breaking.
Nah, breaking.
What's just like?
Okay.
Or what? You was gonna say something then?
No, I'm
not. You'd like fish hook him.
Jesus.
Right. This person has asked for us to not use their name. This is a juicy one.
Not use his name.
Don't say his name. Don't what? Say his name. Battery now.
Big dog.
Big dog, we need you for this one.
No.
Tanvir Arian.
So there's
is
this
it
girl.
Tanvir's problem.
No.
Just imagine if it is Tanvir.
Okay, right, yeah, no, that would visualize work. That would work with this. So there's this girl that I've worked with for 2.5 years in two different companies, been friends for over a year, brackets. During the World Cup, she started pretending she likes watching football.
Kathy.
Let's call her Kathy, yeah.
Oh my God.
Used to discuss the matches with me, hasn't mentioned a word on footy since. And since January, we've been really good friends. That's when she opened up to me about the shit she's been going through. And later, I opened up to her. That's Kathy. Basically, we've both been discussing our failed love lives with each other and been supporting each other. She's been in a toxic relationship for over 2.5 years that she finally just got out of. Brackets, or so she claims. And for my part, the girl I fell in love with over the past year is getting arranged marriage to another guy.
Why do you look right back at me?
This is about you.
Which religion's that?
Well, you will find out in a second.
Mostly just bright people.
We've both still got strong feelings towards our respective exes, but are trying to move on. Now, this year, I've booked a holiday to Turkey, which I'll be taking in a couple of weeks' time. I don't know what that means. Right after EID?
Eid.
Eid.
What's that?
What?
What do you
mean?
Don't ask me, I'm quiet for a reason.
What is
it's just like a celebration of like Ramadan.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
When you eat the Eid, and they get presents, you share presents and shit like that.
Okay.
Christmas. You know that, actually.
Why? My best mate is...
Is...
Anglo-Indian.
Right. And the girl says she wants to come as well. She wants to come on the holiday for 3 days whilst I'll be in
the I know how you explain
on the holiday. She wants to come on the holiday. Well, not rather just
she wants to come as well. Right, on the holiday.
So hang on, she wants to come on his holiday.
That's gravy.
Yes, right.
That's good, mate. All right. Gravy. Here we What's go. The problem?
So yeah, so this year, I'll just say it again. Now this year I've booked her a holiday to Turkey, which I'll be taking in a couple of weeks' time right after Eid. And the girl, Kathy, says she wants to come as well for 3 days whilst I'll be in the middle of my trip.
She wants to come for 3 days? I mean, we all want that.
That'd be exhausting. Because that's when her birthday is and she wants to go for a short trip to get absolutely plastered and doesn't want to be around other people in her life because they're inevitably intertwined with the guy she got out of a relationship with and she doesn't want to be reminded of him. What do you guys reckon? Does she want to be alone with me just as a friend?
No.
Or is there something more in her mind? For context, we're from Pakistan.
Ooh.
I'm 26 and she's 30. I'm Muslim and she's Christian.
Whoa.
Any relationship between us is a bit of a taboo in our society and our parents would definitely stop speaking to us.
Wow.
Brackets, Big Dog would know something about that if his parents are conservative types. Are they, Tanvir?
They're not.
Okay. Also, I won't be able to update till after my trip ends on the 22nd of June because there won't be any developments till then. Love the podcast. Keep doing what you're doing. I don't expect you to be able to navigate through this hot mess.
No, I can.
I'd love to see you try.
No problem.
Flav, you know what Eid is?
Eid.
What's a... what's your advice here?
Do you really believe that there's a big guy in the sky that created all this?
I say,
that's got nothing to do with this.
I agree, Flav. Leave your religion. I turned out fine.
That's so Tavis advice.
He's a free
religion.
He don't give a fuck. God ain't going to chastise him or anything.
You don't know that.
Because he doesn't exist. Right.
He's going to be bopping up through hell.
Change religion 3 times. Have you ever changed football teams?
No.
Of course not. Of course not.
Yeah, exactly.
Couldn't do that.
You know, people change their papers that they read less than he changes religions. I think just go on holiday. Don't think about all this other shit.
Well, he is going on holiday.
Yeah, and let her come
should
over.
She come?
But she should come. And don't like think about all of that stuff. Because it may be you go 3 days, great fling, you have a great time, you get back and you know it doesn't work out. If you start developing feelings for each other, then
they already have, it sounds
then
like.
It's a bit
it
of definitely a sticky one.
It is a sticky one. you are fucking out of order. But you just get to a stage where you just think, well, I need to gauge this. You might fall in love with this girl and spend the rest of your life together, especially at that age, where you kind of come into a position where you need to settle down and you're much more...
But the family will disown them.
But do you know what? Parents are fucking irritating at times.
They'll come round as well. Like, if you actually really like her, then they will come round to what you're saying.
Eventually they will. Or maybe she can convert to Islam.
Are they both religious?
She's Christian.
She's Christian. He's Muslim.
But they are both religious then.
I would suggest so.
For what it's worth, I would say that if you're religious and you believe in a higher power and something like that, then your individual higher powers are bringing you two together so that you can get plastered together in Turkey.
You should come back every week.
Right? Yeah, and then, right. You know what? Advice. You might be the couple to join these two religions and stop world wars.
Like Romeo and Juliet shit. But Shakespeare was writing about this fucking ages ago.
Shakespeare didn't write his stuff though, did he?
What, Romeo and Juliet?
That's a conspiracy. Apparently he didn't even write any of it.
There's an idea that there was a scribe that helped him a lot.
Anyway.
What do you think?
Yeah. Do you know what? I mean, you're doing very well to not, for want of a better phrase, tuck in on this holiday.
Look,
that's quite sexy, isn't it? Taboo.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And you should... But the first stage, not worry about all of this stuff. Just go and have a good time and experience.
But he has to worry about it a little bit, doesn't he?
No, not at this point.
Because there are consequences.
Go on the holiday.
If it becomes a thing.
Go on the holiday, but have fun. If it becomes a thing afterwards, then you think about, oh, how would it work? What are the logistics? But you don't worry about that before. Yeah. Like, you might not even like her.
She might not like your dick.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
She might not like your dick.
Yeah.
It's a man talking from experience.
Yeah, she's like that.
I think you're funny, you're gorgeous, you're a great kisser. I just don't like your dick. So I'm out.
I didn't think you were around then. You know what I mean?
I'd say go and have a good time, think about it afterwards, update us afterwards, see if you manage to plough, then we'll have a chat afterwards. But at this point, just go and have a good time. No one needs to know about what you did. Do you think my mum knows about everybody I've fucked? Absolutely not.
I really hope she doesn't.
I hope that's a two-way street, to be fair.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, my mum's had sex twice.
How many brothers have you got?
Two. There's lots of different marriages. I've got five brothers, but not from the same mum.
That's a different flames of voice.
Oh.
Well, I think that's a perfect way to end it. What a cracking podcast. Chris, thank you very much for joining us and abusing me throughout. Not throughout, there's a small...
Good luck, man.
Yeah, good luck to you both.
What are you doing this weekend, mate?
I'll be on the kickoff watching it, trying to get word in there. if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Like the video. Watch the Carragher thing.
Maybe about next week.
And might be back next week.
Or can we just have a couple of weeks break and then get back into it?
Maybe.
Because we've done this for like 60 weeks on the bounce. And as much as I love spending time with you, Jim, I'd just like a break.
Won't see you next week then.
Looks like he's having a break.
Peace!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.